Last spring, my kids and I noticed a pair of house finches that were trying to build a nest on our front porch. They had chosen a lovely location, protected under the eaves, yet still with easy access to the yard and the flower beds where they could dig for grubs. And all day long, they would swoop in with grass in their beaks, working to weave something together. It was a total flop. It was a great idea, except that they were trying to build a nest on the edge of a painted 2x4. It was far too thin and far too slippery. Again and again, they brought fresh material for the nest, and again, it fell right off, until finally they gave up. This spring, we noticed that house finches had begun trying to construct a nest in the exact same spot. I don't know if it was the same pair that just really wanted to live there, or if it was a new pair who had the same not-so-hot idea. And once again, they were failing miserably. We chuckled empathetically, shaking our heads at their great effort and the just complete lack of results. And then one morning, a couple weeks ago, I was at home with my kids with no plan for the day. We sort of putzed around, we were at loose ends, until one of them suggested helping the birds. We weren't at all sure if they would accept our assistance, but we decided we might as well try. And so we pulled out some scraps of wood and nails and a hammer and saw. We measured and cut and nailed to create the platform about the size of an index card with a side added to help contain the nest. Sam, my son, found some little brackets in a bin in the garage and we nailed it up onto the wall of the porch, really close to where the birds had been working, but now with three walls of protection. The kids scattered some bird seed, and we gathered up all the dropped grass and set that on the platform also. And then we waited. When we come to this story of Pentecost, I have to wonder if the disciples know what they are up to as they gather that morning. In all likelihood, they have a sense of what is coming, or at least they think they do. Pentecost already existed as a holiday, which is why Jews are gathered in Jerusalem from all so many different places. Pentecost was the name, literally meaning 50th, for the Jewish festival of weeks, which came 50 days after Passover. It had first been a harvest festival, and then over time it came to include celebrating the receiving of the law through Moses. They know what they're doing. They've done this before. And yet I wonder what might feel different for the disciples this year, after all that's transpired in the last few months. They had tried to convince Jesus to dodge the authorities, and he had refused. They had shared that last Passover meal with Jesus 50 days earlier. They had watched as Jesus was arrested, and then, while most of them scattered, some of the women stayed close by, and they watched while he was crucified. And then came the agony and the fear, and then the waiting and trying to anoint his body, and then came the wonder and surprise and confusion and joy and awe, and then still more fear in the resurrection. It has been a wild ride for them these last 50 days. Good Friday broke them, and then Easter broke them wide open. Walking on that dusty road, even before they knew it was Jesus, Their hearts were set on fire. Eating with him that morning at the seashore, they found forgiveness as he welcomed their love and told them again and again to feed his sheep. These last 50 days, they have been transformed. The disciples have celebrated Pentecost countless times, and yet they are coming back to this holiday changed. It's not just that there are more cracks in each of them as individuals to let the light in. It's that there seems to be new room in them as a whole, as a community. There is space for something to happen that wasn't possible before, try as they might. As a community, they have been made more spacious, more porous by all that has happened. And when they come together on this day, a violent wind rushes in and fills the whole house. They are set on fire, glowing, understanding one another in a way that they have never experienced before. The Spirit has permeated them and filled their dwelling. In that coming of the Spirit, this arrival that Jesus had promised, all these many and beautifully varied disciples understand each other, and they are understood. And in that sweep of holy wind, they land together. It is mayhem. And yet in that wild exuberance, they are home. That spirited wind gets most of the attention here, together with the dancing flames, and rightfully so. The Spirit is a sight to behold, one for us to chase after whenever we get the chance, whenever we catch a glimpse of that gold glinting out ahead. And she's already been at work, more quietly, more mysteriously. She's already been coaxing these people to create room for the scene and for all the life that will follow from it. The catch is that we have to participate in it. God is at work cracking us open, and yet we have to join in creating that space. The kids and I, we built the platform for the house finches on a Friday and then held our breath. We worried that it would smell too much like us, or maybe not feel right, or that something else would put them off. But the very next morning, we saw them hard at work using this new space. By the end of the day, there was an impressive start to a nest. A few days later, three tiny blue eggs appeared in it. And a few days later, there were five. We were astonished and absolutely delighted. Friends, I don't know what exactly happened in me that morning that made it seem like a good idea to haul out the hand tools and scrap lumber and see what we could build. Maybe it was the eagerness of my kids and how much they wanted to help this little pair of birds who were so struggling. Maybe it was the warm spring sunshine that coaxed me into saying yes. What I can tell you, though, is that there were 1,000 reasons why I thought I should say no. Some of them good and some just grouchy. There was a long list of things that needed to be done, many of them seemingly more important than what appeared to be an unlikely fix for a sweet but not terribly pressing problem. But something cracked open in me, pulling me forward. Something, or maybe someone, was nudging us to help create a little more room. A And so much of the time, that's all we can do. I cannot weave a proper nest. I cannot create these minuscule blue eggs. That life is all mystery and wonder and so far beyond me. And all the same, we're called to make space. To make space in ourselves and around us, space for the Holy Spirit to blow in and bring this new life. So often I think I know why it doesn't make sense, why I should say no when life beckons like this. But then, the day before yesterday, I climbed up somewhat precariously to check on the eggs. But there weren't any eggs anymore. Instead, the nest was filled with the tiniest pile of pink fluff, fragile and kind of alien, looking almost more furry than feathery. I can't yet see beaks or eyes. It's just this pulsing warmth, all perfectly brand new. Just as in those days after the first Easter, we are still being cracked open today. And just as on that wild new Pentecost, still today we're being called to join in making this space so that as the Holy Spirit blows in and moves among us, we might make a home for new life together.